Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Malogy. That's right. Malogy. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you've heard of a eulogy, to speak a good word about somebody. I don't think they have to be dead, but typically we eulogize people at their funerals. We are going to be witnessing the funeral of the pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church now for, oh, I suspect quite a bit. And I know that there will be evangelical voices who eulogize him, who will say a good word about him. They will find the nice things that he did, perhaps the charitable things that he did, anything beneficial, to make sure that in their preamble, as they go about addressing and at least acknowledging the death of the Pope, they'll say lots of good things. And then maybe conclude it with, while we had theological differences, he was a nice man. I know this isn't politically correct, but I can't do that. If I were going to spend time speaking about the Roman Catholic pontiff, it would be to malogize him, because the office of the papacy is a wicked institution. And any man, as humble as he claims to be, which should be a sign, who claims to be the vicar of Christ on earth, the chief of all shepherds, I'm sorry, it is very difficult. No, it's impossible for me to speak a good word. And I recognize in our current cultural context, to speak anything negative about somebody who just died is verboten. I get that. So we're not going to speak any word about the Pope. Instead, let's study the papal system, shall we? These are all taken from Roman Catholic documents. As a reminder, evangelicals and Catholics are not together. There are still radical differences between Protestants and Catholics, not the least of which would be justification. How does one get to heaven? The answer, according to the Reformers, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. According to the Roman Catholic Church, sorry, you got to do some works and cross your fingers. Hope you don't die, because you got to do stuff to get to heaven. The system is that of infused righteousness, which you receive at your baptism as a baby. You do nothing to earn the cleansing, the temporary cleansing that your baby baptism offers you. But as you go about the business then of sinning, you're the one who has to wipe the slate clean. And I know, I watched the Michael Knowles interview with Bishop Robert Barron. They kind of take that, they water that down a little bit. They try to sound as Protestant as possible to make grace sound as magnificent as it is. But the reality is, the Roman Catholic system has enshrined in their forever unchanging documents that it is a system that is partially grace, partially works. And as a Protestant, we should look at that and say, there's no partial anything there. You add a single thing, including, I don't know, say circumcision, and you are anathema. And that has not changed. That cannot change. That is why when I heard the now deceased Pope talk about Martin Luther saying that he was right about justification, it's like, okay, then why don't you speak ex cathedra and make it official Catholic dogma? You can't, because it contradicts past dogma, specifically the Council of Trent, which made it clear anybody believes in justification by faith alone is anathema. Nothing has changed, including how we go about the business of getting to heaven. Though this is, by the way, taken from the Roman Catholic Catechism, because otherwise people will complain, I'm misrepresenting. The Roman Catholic Catechism 2010, since the initiative belongs to God in the order of grace, no one can merit the initial grace. Oh, initial grace of forgiveness and justification at the beginning of conversion via baptism. Moved by the Holy Spirit and by charity, we can then merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification, for the increase of grace and charity, and here it is, and for the attainment of eternal life. I am grateful that there do indeed appear to be some Roman Catholics who have jettisoned the works aspect of the faith, but the Roman Catholic system cannot purge work righteousness. They can't, because the magisterium has already spoken. This is what the seven sacraments are about. This is what indulgences are about. This is what the entire procedure of what takes place at the Mass, the supposed re-sacrificing of the Son of God, which is so blasphemous, which, by the way, is just another distinctive. I don't care where you're at in the Protestant spectrum regarding the Lord's table, whether you think real presence in, with, and under, it's symbolic. That's a little different than transubstantiation. Consubstantiation is not transubstantiation. The Roman Catholic system says you're actually eating the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as best I can tell, I've never actually been a cannibal, but it kind of tastes like bread and grape juice to me. But I have to confess, kind of stale bread lately, and the grape juice is getting a little bitter. We use those communion cups that are the, you know, that you got to unseal them, and then we do it that way. Don't ask me. Yes, we could debate that all day, and I would be happy to be engaged in that conversation because I think it's one well worth having. How do you deliver the Lord's table? I think the Roman Catholics, no, they don't even do it. Jimmy, use your AI machine. Does the Roman Catholic system of communion involve intinction, I-N-T? Intinction, I-N-C-T-I-O-N, where you dip the wafer into the wine. It's efficient. It looks like Jesus did each one of the elements separately because we have it actually recorded for us on the night he was betrayed. Paul, he repeated it in 1 Corinthians 11. Nevertheless, it's not something that I think would separate us. I hope not. How we deliver communion, fascinating. Although, you might want to learn a lesson from John MacArthur. Do you remember the story that he shared when he was a new pastor? You know, he wanted to do something really special and meaningful for communion. So he had some loaves of bread baked and then passed them around where everybody was supposed to take a tear. Probably the way that they did it at the Lord's table at the Passover where Jesus instituted the Lord's table. And the bread got all the way back to about the third row and it was gone. People apparently were a little hungry. They couldn't wait for the cracker barrel. So they ate so much bread, they were out. So you got to be careful with how you go about the business of doing the elements of the Lord's table. You got intinction in the Roman Catholic system?
You know, I don't.
Did you ask it? Does the Roman Catholic Church practice intinction?
My AI machine has decided to take a day off.
Oh, doesn't want to. Maybe it's because of the death of the Pope. It doesn't want to answer any of those questions. What are the differences between Protestantism and Roman Catholicism? Well, let's talk about the office of the papacy. This is an office that has no biblical grounding whatsoever. Oh, I know they claim that it does, but it simply does not. There is nothing inside of the Bible that makes it. In fact, everything in the Bible points against Peter being the first pope. And historically, it's simply undeniable. An unbroken succession of popes? That's not true. Furthermore, historically, you have instances where there are multiple popes simultaneously. Furthermore, you have some rogue popes. I mean, really nasty individuals that were involved in a lot of terrible activities. The office of the papacy does not have biblical grounding. Furthermore, we do not see this office given the authority to speak ex cathedra, which is from the chair, speaking definitively, authoritatively, and correctly on all matters of faith and practice. And that is, according to the Roman Catholic system, exactly what the Roman Catholic Pope possesses. There's just no biblical support for that. This is from the Catholic Catechism 891. The Roman pontiff, head of the College of Bishops, enjoys this infallibility in virtue of his office. When as supreme pastor and teacher of all the faithful, that's not humility, who confirms his brethren in the faith, he proclaims by a definitive act of doctrine pertaining to faith or morals, the infallibility promised to the church is also present in the body of bishops when together with Peter's successor, they exercise the supreme magisterium. So the bishops, they cannot act independently without, if it doesn't get blessed by the Pope, the bishops have no power. You put them together, you've got yourself the magisterium. When the church, through its supreme magisterium, proposes a doctrine for belief as being divinely revealed and as the teaching of Christ, the definitions must be adhered to with the obedience of faith. This infallibility extends as far as the deposit of divine revelation itself. Well then, that's rather clear, isn't it? But alas, or lad, if you still believe in two genders, there are still more differences between the Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism, including the view of the Mother of Jesus Christ. Next on Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. That's FortisInstitute.org/lies.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the Word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed Himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And speaking of differences, this is Wretched Radio. Not only are there differences between Protestantism and Catholicism, still, there are differences of opinion regarding climate change. Just read a statistic. Over 90% of pastors believe in global warming. If you fall on that side or the other side, you're going to love the webinar that we are presenting tonight with our own fellow Dr. Jason Lyle. Yeah, you're probably going to get which side we're on. Debunking the climate change myth. I think that maybe tipped our hand straight away. He's smart. No matter where you stand on this, please join us for the webinar tonight. I'm really looking forward to it. It's 9 p.m. Eastern time. Go to fortisinstitute.org/webinar. fortisinstitute.org/webinar. I think it's going to maybe last 75 minutes, somewhere in that neighborhood. And he's whip smart and he's reasonable and he's willing to identify challenges for any of his positions. But I think that you're going to hear there's been a whole lot of scaring going on. And I tell you, our world just doesn't need to be more frightened than they already are. Tonight, debunking the climate change myth. Don't miss it. I think, Jimmy, is it also, can you go to the YouTube machine and it's going to be going there too?
I think so. I think that's how it works.
I think that's, regardless, you can also go to fortisinstitute.org/webinar. And as long as we're talking about the distinctions between Protestantism and Catholicism, which we actually were, let me share with you some of the dogma regarding Mary. And I have to confess to you, I want to say this so it doesn't sound like I'm disgusted, but and second thought, I kind of am. It makes me sick to my stomach. This is so grotesque. This is such thievery of the magnificent work of Jesus Christ accomplished by him alone for the salvation of souls. A reminder, any man who holds an office that supports this dogma, I'm not sure that's worthy of a eulogy. This is regarding the Immaculate Conception. This is that Mary somehow was born without sin. Don't ask me what Bible verse that is, but that dogma was determined in 1854. 1854. Took 19 centuries. Why? Well, I think the Protestant Reformation was still having an impact. They were still having to respond to the outcry of, hey, what is Mary doing receiving veneration? She's not an intercessor. And so what did the Roman Catholic Church do? They doubled down. 1950, it was deemed by Pope Pius the X11 that she was assumed into heaven, body and soul, into heavenly glory. Do you read that in the Bible anyplace? Nope. This is from the Lumen Gentium, the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church, Chapter 8. It affirms Mary's role as Mother of God, and here's the kicker, because we can actually live with Mother of God, depending on where you put the emphasis. If you mean she bore a divine child from her being, but if you're talking about the divinity of Jesus Christ and his mother, then in that aspect, she was the mother of God. But this also, the Lumen Gentium also talks about her intimate association with Christ's redemptive work. According to the Roman Catholic Catechism, paragraph 499, it affirms Mary's perpetual virginity. And this, I think we've shared this before. This just is such a fundamental confusion about intimacy. It is does not make you dirty to be intimate with your spouse. I mean, it doesn't sully you in any way. And furthermore, we know that Mary had more children, lots of them, in fact. That's not the act between husband and wife does not somehow make you a second or third or seventh class citizen. And that is why this dogged insistence to make sure that she's a perpetual virgin, to me, I think that it reveals they simply don't understand the gift of sex. It is a gift from God. It comes from him. Who invented it? Who made sure that our bodies function that way? Who is the one who had the original idea? Who's the one who said, do that act, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply? He told them that, by the way, before they introduced sin. Sex is not necessarily a dirty thing. I think the perpetual virginity of Mary, I think it belies that fact. Paragraph 970 from the Catholic Catechism discusses Mary's maternal role in the order of grace. Say what? Paragraph 974, it confirms her assumption into heaven. Let me share with you from the Catholic Catechism, 499. The deepening of faith in the virginal motherhood led the Church to confess Mary's real and perpetual virginity, even in the act of giving birth to the Son of God made man. In fact, Christ's birth did not diminish his mother's virginal integrity, but sanctified it. And so the liturgy of the Church celebrates Mary as the ever-virgin. Catechism 964. Mary's role in the Church is inseparable from her union with Christ and flows directly from it. This union of the mother with the Son in the work of salvation, that right there, that little statement alone, the union of the mother with the Son in the work of salvation. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Jesus was the Lamb of God who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ is our propitiation, and he doesn't share it with his mother. The union of the mother with the Son in the work of salvation is made manifest from the time of Christ's virginal conception up to his death. Except it wasn't. In fact, it would appear he put his mother in place a couple of times. It is made manifest above all at the hour of his passion. Here's the thinking. She endured a lot watching her son suffer. And I don't doubt for a second that she did. As a mother, watching your son being treated like that, of course she did. But not as an offering for the punishment we deserve. She didn't suffer for our sins. She just suffered as the mother of a son who was being executed. From the Catholic Catechism, thus the Blessed Virgin advanced in her pilgrimage of faith and faithfully preserved in her union with her son unto the cross. There she stood, in keeping with the divine plan, enduring with her only begotten son the intensity of his suffering, not even close. Did she feel bad? You betcha. Was she receiving the wrath of the Father? Of course she wasn't. We have no idea how horrific the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was. You see she didn't, by the way, I'm just talking about the physical stuff. She didn't endure a scourging. She didn't get punched in the face like Jesus did. She didn't have a crown of thorns smashed onto her head. She felt bad, but she didn't receive any of the physical punishment. But don't forget, don't not neglect the invisible suffering of the Savior who received the full wrath of God for all of the sins of all of those who would repent and believe in him. It was unimaginable what he endured. This really is painful to read. Enduring with her only begotten son the intensity of his suffering, joining herself with his sacrifice in her mother's heart, and lovingly consenting to the immolation of this victim born of her, to be given by the same Christ Jesus dying on the cross as a mother to his disciple with these words, "Woman, behold your son." That should cause any true believer's heart to ache. This motherhood of Mary in the order of grace, what? Continues uninterruptedly from the consent which she loyally gave at the Annunciation. Jimmy, do you have that verse? Because I don't have that verse anyway.
No.
By the way, did you find out about intinction?
I did.
What's the story, Wishbone?
So intinction is the... You dip it.
You dip the bread in the wine.
So it's not the standard Roman Catholic practice, but it's permitted.
Because I don't think that if you as the parishioner get to drink the wine, you just get the body, right?
According to what Roman, their general instruction, I guess, it's allowed, but explicitly allowed under the conditions of the priest performing it. Not lay people are not permitted to self-intinct.
I see.
Yeah,
there's a statement I never thought we'd make here. taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside this saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Church under the titles of Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, and Mediatrix. Mediatrix. There is one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Church's tradition has often read the most beautiful text on wisdom in relation to Mary. So apparently, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs are about Mary. Mary is acclaimed and represented in the liturgy as the seat of wisdom. In her, the wonders of God that the Spirit was to fulfill in Christ and the Church began to be manifested. Sorry. I do not think that we should be eulogizing anybody who perpetuates that blasphemy. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. Well, King Charles of Britain seemed a little bit more interested in interfaith appeasement than actually proclaiming Christian truth during Easter. His Easter message emphasized that Jesus' love reflected the Jewish ethic and was echoed in Islam and other religious traditions. Social media, as you might expect, quickly erupted with criticism. Meanwhile, in Colorado, the governor there has signed legislation formally removing the state's definition of marriage as between one man and one woman, which is a largely symbolic gesture since the Supreme Court already forced this redefinition nationwide. 32 states have traditional marriage definitions on their books, though currently unenforceable. And we're witnessing now exactly what happens when political expediency trumps eternal truth. Some good news for women's sports as the state of Indiana enacted a law protecting female athletes from unfair competition. House Bill 1041, which was signed by the governor, prohibits males from competing in women's collegiate sports based on the radical notion that biological reality actually matters. Despite the hysterical claims about discrimination from the ACLU, the bill passed with overwhelming support in the House and Senate both, proving common sense not yet extinct in America. Arizona's Democratic governor has signed legislation banning ultra-processed foods in schools starting in 2026. The bill specifically targets foods containing synthetic additives like potassium bromide and harmful dyes. Even Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy praised the bipartisan measure, calling it a no-brainer and reminding legislatures that protecting children is our obligation. The FDA announced that it is removing pharmaceutical company representatives from its advisory committees, with the commissioner noting that public trust in the healthcare industrial complex is at an all-time low. And that's an understatement, sir. The move aims to restore integrity to a process long corrupted by industry influence, though pharmaceutical reps can still attend meetings as members of the public. An undercover investigation by O'Keefe Media Group has exposed Summit Public Schools' discriminatory hiring practices, with the HR director admitting they reject qualified Trump supporters and make race-baiting hiring decisions. Remember this, folks, the next time someone claims DEI is all about fairness rather than ideological conformity. Finally, lawmakers in Texas have introduced legislation to combat abortion pills being smuggled into the state. Senate Bill 2880 would prohibit manufacturing, distributing, and even providing information about obtaining abortion-inducing drugs. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Would you like some good news, Scarecrow?
I feel fine.
That is good news indeed. This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, is the voice of one Dr. John MacArthur, who is back in the Grace to You studio, sitting down with Phil Johnson. And by the way, if you've wondered, what does the back of Phil's bald head look like? You'll love this video. It's out on the internet machine someplace. Dr. John MacArthur came into the Grace to You studio, sat down with Phil Johnson, who is now the voice of Grace to You, who is actually recovering from his medical procedures, and they were a pistol. And yet, Phil recovered. He had the bone marrow transplant. He feels fit as a fiddle. I hope he's growing, like Chicago, stronger every day. He was in studio with John MacArthur, who was in the hospital and really kind of MIA for a number of weeks because he was dealing with a number of different medical issues. But now, according to John MacArthur, he's back.
I'm not ill at all. My heart is working well. My lungs are working well. So there's nothing terminal.
That's good.
There's no heart failure. In fact, my heart is probably stronger now than it's been in the last decade of my life. I'm under good care from the doctors. The issue for me was when they were trying to regulate everything, because I had a lung surgery and three heart procedures.
Wow.
They put me in the hospital and I had to be there 7 weeks. So all I can say at this point is I feel great. I'm ready to come roaring back into the public and pick up my ministry again.
Wow. Wow. That is some good news indeed. And speaking of California and the Master's Academy and Grace to You and the Master's University, Dr. Greg Giffert did me a solid. I say it that way just so you're reminded of how hip and contemporary I am. He did me a solid because I sent him an email on behalf of all of the people, and I'm not exaggerating when I say all of the people who struggle with what we will call religious scrupulosity, where they are perpetually in a funk because of the concern of the status of their soul. Anytime they sin, they wonder if they're disqualified from the kingdom. They continue to doubt the veracity of their own profession, and they are caught in a spiral. So I sent a note to Greg Giffert, and I said, hey, would you do a hot take on religious scrupulosity? If you're not familiar with Dr. Greg Giffert, you should be. He's a Fortas Fellow. You can hear his Transform podcast weekly. It's awesome. It's really, really awesome. It will help you apply the Bible to your emotions. And don't forget, if you want to hear Greg's podcast, you know that we've got other podcasts, Brad Bigney on parenting and marriage. It's just some of the best podcasting out there, period. John Kratz, Thrive, Way of Manhood, Adam Tyson, Libby Glosson is now doing a podcast for women, and it ain't trite. It's Intelligent Talk. It's The Better Way podcast. You can find all of these podcasts, and by the way, all of the hot takes and all of the director's cuts. If you download the app, go to fortisplus.org. Actually, do you need to? Yeah, you download. Is that how? Well, do what you know what to do. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but it's free. It's absolutely free. Yeah, we want your email address so that we can spam you to pieces and sell it to people who will annoy you. No, you just have to enter your email so that we can keep the app can be downloaded, and then you can have everything for F-R-E-E. Here's Dr. Greg Giffert with a word on religious scrupulosity. That's a sound effect, by the way.
Hey guys, I just finished an article. I was reading on an ESPN and it was about OCD or religious scrupulosity. The title of it's called Cults, Braden Smith, Detail Struggle, Recovery from Severe OCD. It's fascinating. Maybe you've heard of OCD or religious scrupulosity. It's where people will have compulsions and it's a type of penance. You have to go back and make things right. So the article says, Colts veteran offensive tackle Braden Smith missed the final five games of last season because of a personal matter. Smith, 29, said he was eventually diagnosed with a condition known as religious scrupulosity. He said that he spent 48 days in a treatment facility and ultimately turned to a psychedelic drug that he believes helped save him. And the psychedelic drugs, they're being used more and more. In fact, I have seen them used for PTSD as well.
Yeah.
So this is the idea. I need to be perfect. I'm not perfect. All I can think about is what I need to do right. And then you kind of make yourself a crazy person with all these habits and compulsive behaviors that you start to do. How do we think about that biblically? Well, first of all, no problem is too bizarre for the Word of God. If we really do believe the Scriptures are sufficient, as they claim to be, 2 Timothy 3:17, then God has given us the wisdom that we need to honor Him when we have these intrusive thoughts and compulsive desires. Intrusive thoughts are a reality. Can you struggle with thinking thoughts that feel like they are coming out of left field? I can't speak for you, but I know I can. And I know that the thought can feel like wham. Some people will even ask, like, is this demonic temptation or oppression? The response is that you have to take intrusive thoughts captive and renew your mind with the truth of Scripture. And if you're living in isolation and you're fighting these thoughts on your own, no local church, honestly, I think you are going to give in to the intrusive thoughts. You won't win without the resources God has provided. 1 Corinthians 8, read Romans 14. You have to retrain your conscience. Just because I feel guilty doesn't mean I am. If you have a sensitive conscience, you have to take that sensation of guilt that you've offended God or you've blasphemed, go back to the Bible and say, did I actually do that? The Bible is the authority, not us. I am not the authority on whether I really am in sin or not. God is, and He makes that known through His Word. So if you're the final authority, then that means you're really checking yourself against your own standards of righteousness. I have to depend on what God says in His Word. God's Word is true. My feelings are subjected to the Word of God. So number two, train a sensitive conscience with the Word of God. Number three, He's using psychedelic drugs. What is the psychedelic drug doing? It's altering his state. It's affecting his body through his senses, but it's not actually changing his mind or his heart. And I have no doubt that this may alleviate symptoms for Braden, but the reality is it's not changing his thoughts. It would be the equivalent of smoking marijuana to deal with stress. Seriously, we were talking about that in class today at Masters, that can that be an effective means of relieving stress? But yes, it's not helping you respond to the stressor. It's not at the root level changing your thoughts, desires, affections, heart. You're not growing a vision of who God is by taking a psychedelic drug. You're fruit swapping, right? Like you're picking this fruit for that fruit. So is that illegal, wrong? Yeah, I think you're going to the wrong place in all fairness. But what if there's symptom relief? You might wonder still, like, where to go back to God's Word and seek for change with God's means of change and God's methods for change, not seeking out illegal psychedelic drugs. Last thought for you, and this is extremely important when we're thinking through this context in counseling. If a person feels that they've offended God and they actually have offended God, the last thing I want to do is get them off the hook and help them feel less guilty. In God's kindness, we actually feel bad about sinning against Him. In God's kindness, we have a conscience that's pricked. And to have a seared conscience means you don't feel at all. You don't feel any guilt. So you're cutting that line straight. If you are guilty, then you need to repent and turn back to the Lord. But if you're not guilty, then you're trusting what God says over what you feel in this moment. Religious scrupulosity is where you're giving in to those fearful thoughts. Now, everything is a sin, and you're letting those thoughts rule you instead of walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, being controlled by Him. Does that mean that this is a body issue? No, it doesn't. Where do your thoughts start? Seriously, your body is not the source of your thoughts. Your brain's not the source of your thoughts. Your mind and your heart, your inner person is the source of your thoughts. So if that's where those thoughts of self-accusation and condemnation start, then where should I start? With God's Word, renewing my thoughts and praying that He would renew me in the spirit of my mind. Ephesians 4:23. So religious scrupulosity, OCD, it's not too far past. If you're a person wrestling with this or you know someone, I would encourage you, like, you need some intensive biblical counseling. You need to be embedded in the body of Christ. You need an acute help, but you don't need psychedelic drugs. You don't need fruit swapping and symptom relief. Let's do this God's way, and we'll see that God's wisdom is always better than man's wisdom.
That's the sound effect. That is Dr. Greg Gifford helping us with religious scrupulosity and a host of emotional issues. The Transform Podcast, his new book, it's almost here. Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can order an advanced copy. I would encourage you to do so. If you're intrigued by the book, showing the distinction between the mind and the brain, what you should do if you're diagnosed, what do you do with psychotropic medications, please consider his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, which you can find And we're just going to direct you to whatever store you want to go to. We aren't making money on this. We just think this book is that important. Go to FortisPlus.org/lies. FortisInstitute.org/lies. Oh, I almost did everything right. FortisInstitute.org/lies. Lies, my therapist told me. And hey, another shout out about our Fortis fellow, Dr. Jason Lyle. Tonight, debunking the climate change myth. I wonder where he stands on the issue. FortisInstitute.org/webinar. This is Wretched Radio.
Remember when we were kids and the adults would say, hey, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. It'll change. Now it seems the whole world's forgotten that climate has always been changing. And on Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Fortis Institute fellow Dr. Jason Lyle will be joining us for a webinar to explore what's really happening with our climate. Not the panic you see on the news, not the politics, just an honest assessment backed by scientific evidence and biblical truth. What does God's Word actually say about our role as stewards of creation, and how do we separate fact from fear when it comes to climate predictions? Our goal is to equip you with the information that will give you confidence to discuss climate issues from a perspective that honors both science and scripture. You can register for the webinar right now at FortisInstitute.org/webinar. It is completely free. The truth about climate change with Dr. Jason Lyle. It is coming up again Tuesday, April 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. FortisInstitute.org/webinar. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to FortisInstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever. At FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's Word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the Word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy Word to humanity, through which He makes Himself known and continues to draw us to Himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You send in your requests, I'll play them on the radio. This is Wretched. Why are you laughing at me?
Are you Casey Kasem, Wretched Top 40?
Yes. That's what I was going for. And you, I've got to tell you, my impersonations impress me a lot. That was just bang on there. This is Wretched Radio. A number of videos have surfaced of dads going to city council meetings, going to school board meetings to protest. Hey, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are sitting in that chair on that dais determining that our children can be kept from us when they're in the process of being confused about their gender? You think it is your job to usurp the authority of parents and hide it from us? Who do these people think they are? Well, I can answer that question. These are people with darkened minds. And that is why, whilst I'm thrilled to pieces with what appear to be political advancements these days, I am not going to be deceived. The evil that lurks in the hearts of humans is not going to be changed by the stroke of a pen in Washington, D.C. People who make these atrocious judgments and they put legislation in place. I think, oh, I was just reading another one. Jimmy, maybe you did this one on the news. It was in Colorado, I think. Another effort to keep information from parents regarding their genders. Mm-hmm. Who do these people think they are? They're lost people. And that is why let's cheer the political progress that we appear to be making. But don't be deceived. These people need the gospel. So let me share with you one Dustin Gonzalez. He's appearing before the school district, the Jeffco Public School District of Colorado.
I'm not a politician. I'm not a loud voice on social media. I'm a father. A quiet one, when he goes to work, tries to do right by his family, and stays out of the spotlight. But now you're going to remember my name. You'll remember it because I'm not just fighting for my daughter. I'm fighting to make sure that what happens to me, to my family, never happens to another parent in this district. My daughter changed her identity, not after years of discussion or family dialogue, not after joint input from both of her parents. No, this happened quickly, secretly, encouraged by a school-appointed therapist and a system that never thought to include me. And the school didn't inform me, they didn't include me, they didn't even ask me, they replaced me. By the time I found out, I was already labeled the problem. My objections weren't treated as concerns. They were treated as opposition. My voice was dismissed as hateful. Yep. My presence undermined. The therapist, the school, and eventually the court-appointed investigator all decided that because I would affirm something, I didn't deserve to parent my daughter equally anymore.
Who do these people think they are? Oh, yeah. They're educators.
They didn't accuse me of abuse. They didn't claim I'd caused harm. The only evidence against me was that I said I'm not ready to affirm this yet. That's it. And now I'm at risk of losing parenting time, of being erased from my daughter's life, not because I failed as a father, but because I dared to ask questions. And it started in your schools. Your systems made it possible. And your silence made it permanent. You gave my ex all the tools she needed to take our daughter from me. Tools that she couldn't have forged on her own. You gave her the therapist. You gave her the ideological support. And you never once thought, shouldn't the father be involved too?
No.
I was supposed to have one opponent in this fight for my daughter. One voice with equal say. One person across the table who I would battle for influence. And that person was supposed to be my ex. But you gave her reinforcements. You gave her a system that cut me out of the picture. You handed her the tools to eliminate me from my daughter's life. And with your help, she's trying to erase me altogether. Mm. You replaced my voice. You stole my seat at the table. And you made decisions about my daughter without me. Mary Parker, Paula Reed, Aaron Kenworthy, Danielle Varda, and Michelle Applegate. Your names are etched into my memory. Not for who you are, but for your inaction cost me. And I'll make sure my name is etched in yours too. I don't care if you personally signed the policies, stayed silent while they passed, or simply chose not to know. You are all responsible. Fathers like me will remember. You may keep your seats this cycle. You may maybe the next, but I won't quit until each of you is replaced. And Paula Reed, you're in my district. I've heard you're not running again. If that's true, good. But if you're planning something bigger, if you think higher office is your next move, then let me be crystal clear. I will be your opposition. At every campaign stop, on every ballot, in every debate, you've lost the right to lead. And I'll make sure voters know why. Don't think you can take a man's child from him and not reap a whirlwind. You don't get to raise our children for us. And if those who replace you try as you have, we'll replace them too. So parents of Jefferson County, get your kids out of Jefferson County now. You don't know how far this truck goes until it comes for you. And after you do, speak out, join me, and take back what's ours. The right to raise our kids.
Thank you.
I'll see you.
Thank you. Thank you, dismissively. Mm. This is a dad who has had enough, no doubt, His language will be considered incendiary. I don't think he crossed a line by stating, I'm going to show up wherever you politic and let people know your values. It is refreshing to hear Dad speaking up. Please meet Father number two, Sam Arrington from Illinois.
Is that how we're to act? We're going to let boys in the bathrooms? I want to ask all the fathers up here to claim to love their daughters. Would you be okay if someone up here started getting naked in front of your daughter? No, yes, they are. If they go in the bathroom, they will get naked in front of your daughter. You are a liar.
Hey, folks. Okay. We're not doing this.
Okay, that's like, all I'm saying. We're not doing the back and forth. These men, these boys, these biological boys, you're going to allow them to go in and get naked in front of our kids? Are we that far gone now? Where does this stop, guys?
Yes.
Where does this plateau? Next thing you know, we're going to be okaying pedophilia? We're already letting kids pretend to be furries.
Yeah. Listen to the heckling from the tolerant ones in the peanut gallery.
We're letting kids be furries. Silence. Folks, I request silence.
Please.
I don't care. With offensive. You know what? It's funny. All your shirts all say humble, kind, love everyone. But you don't love me right now, do you? That's right.
Sir.
That's right.
I think somebody said, no, we don't. And they're okay with that.
Folks, give me a second.
Okay.
You're here to address the board. You're not here to address the audience.
Right.
Let's scold him. Let's scold him for responding to the hecklers. Okay.
I apologize to you. So let me address you so I don't lose any more time.
Folks out there, please let him say his piece. You're entitled to the same. This is not a back and forth debate.
We're doing a lot of this because we don't want teen suicides. We want to prevent teen suicides. We're trying to accommodate these children. I wanted to be a dinosaur, man. Listen, let these kids get 18. Let them grow up. And at 18, let them decide what they want to be.
I think our society should say never. It isn't a matter of age. It's a matter of biology.
More power to you, but don't twist and manipulate their mind when they are impressionable. Leave our kids alone. Please leave them alone. There is no study, not one that's ever been done, that WPATH, World Professional Association of Transgender Health, set out to do a study about suicide. And did you know they could find no conclusive evidence that letting your child transition will save their life?
I've actually read studies where it actually increases the odds they will.
Not one study. We are going down a path of irreversible evil and harm. We are accepting evil in 2025. This is sick. All these men getting up here speaking today, they don't have the courage to look at their kids and say, hey, I love you. And I'm going to support you, but you're a boy or you're a girl. You were born in God's image. That's what men should do. That's what real men do.
Well done,
dude. That's what real men of courage do.
That is absolutely right. Well done, sir. Let me take you now to a female. If your heart has not been broken, get ready to meet Celeste Diest from Lucia Mars School District in California.
Hello, my name is Celeste Deist. I am 17 years old, a junior and track athlete at AGHS. Most importantly, I am a woman advocating for the renewal of female rights, which recently has been overlooked and disregarded. I implore all of you to help put an end to this current injustice. Recently, I went into the women's locker room to change for track practice, where I saw at the end of my row a biological male watching not only myself, but the other young women undress. This experience was beyond traumatizing. I must add, he is not changing in our locker room because he's in his track clothes, dressed and ready to go to practice at the beginning of the day. Therefore, there's absolutely no reason for him to be in any locker room, let alone the women's. Adults like yourself made me and my peers feel like our own comfort was invalid, even though our privacy was and still is being completely violated. The individual who identifies as female has XY chromosomes. Biologically, this makes him a male. Because females have XX chromosomes, this is basic biology.
Okay, please wrap it up.
Oh, ice cube.
I just want to ask, what about us? We cannot sit around and allow our rights to be given up to cater to an individual that is a man, who watches women undress and is stripping away female opportunity that once was fought for us. Sadly, we have to try and regain our rights again. I hope you put effort into the restoration of our school safety. Thank you for serving.
Thank you.
Where are the men? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.